Who Are You? Check the schedule pages at firstamendmentradio.com for broadcast times. We'll see you then.
Maybe your friends think I'm just a stranger. My face you never see no more.
You're listening to FirstAmendmentRadio.com worldwide. Freedom is never free. We need your support today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Welcome to another edition of the Discount Gold and Silver Trading Hour that I do for Melody Cederstrom. And this is Wednesday evening. We'll do it tomorrow night. We do it Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday at 7 p.m. Central Time. I have Melody online with me to open up the broadcast. I have Hans and Molina back with me. And certainly Dennis has been doing some tremendous research, and it's on the website, AmericanExpose.com. But the thing is, this podcast is sponsored by Melody Cederstrom. If you want it to continue, and certainly we're on the new frequency, 9.985. That's the new frequency on WWCR, 9.985, and at First Amendment Radio. If you want it to continue, you need to support Melody and First Amendment Radio. But Melody is the major sponsor for the network, First Amendment Radio, so she is number one at this point in time. And number one, welcome to the broadcast.
Thank you, Chris. And in addition to that, sponsorship is great, but I think it's very important that people own gold and silver in their portfolios. I do believe we're going to be heading into some troubled times in the very near future, and things are going on in this country that it just doesn't make sense. Everything is out of balance, and there's lots of talk about foreign currencies being tied to gold instead of the euro or the dollar. When you talk about the trade deficit of the U.S., I mean, it's just unbelievable. It's unsustainable. When we talk about the...
there's that word.
Yeah, there we go.
Shame on you. That's sustainable development. You shouldn't be using the other
side of
the word.
Also, it's the trade deficit of the U.S. is unsustainable. And
yes,
we have the account deficit that could hit $900 billion. These are all factors that are going to hit the U.S. dollar. And even though we've been seeing strength over the past couple of days because of the situation in Europe, and we've seen the correction on the euro, it will not continue, and we still have an exciting outlook for gold. But people have to remember, yes, you sponsor the program, you sponsor Discount Gold and Silver Trading, but I have the best prices, I have great products, I have a variety of product that is always available, and I never try to fit the same portfolio into everyone's life. I do not put the same coins into all portfolios and try to fit you all together. One size does not fit all. And I've done some shopping on my own, and I found out some of the prices that I know some of my competitors are charging. And again, the main goal is you want to get as much as you can for your money, because you work hard for that money. But when you're being charged for 20% on 10-ounce Gold Eagles, I think there's better deals out there and better products. So, I mean, if you're looking and paying $57 for a 10-ounce Gold Eagle, my heavens, you could buy an MS-61 $20 Liberty for $555. So where's the bargain and which is the best price? Now, I believe in 10-ounce Gold Eagles. I believe they're very important to have in your portfolio, but I also believe diversification is the key when it comes to gold and silver. We've seen silver rise considerably in the past couple of days. Silver closed out today at $7.52, up 7 cents. Gold closed down at $1.55 at $415. Silver was up. There's been a lot of fun buying, and because the gold to silver price ratio fell to just above 56 to 1 from around 59 to 1 about 2 weeks ago, and that was a bullish signal for those traders. And again, we also have talk of tight bullion supplies. And again, there's a discussion and the possible creation of a new exchange traded silver fund that has supported silver prices, you know, this last week. So yes, it is a good opportunity to purchase silver. Silver will most likely go up a little bit higher. So, it's always good to have silver, and I have the best prices for silver. But my Gold Eagles today, my 1/10 ounce Gold Eagles are $49. My 1 ounce Gold Eagles are $440. I have great buys on numismatic coins. 61 $20 Liberties are $555. My 61 $20 Saints are $560. My 62s, they're both $570. And my 63 Saints are $610. So I have great prices. And 1-800-375-4188. If you would like me to take a look at your precious metals portfolio, I would be more than happy to do so. And remember, diversification is always the key. And yes, you want to get as much gold as possible for your money. So when you do that, paying 20% or more commission does not help you accomplish that feat. So 1-800-375-4188. And there was a lot of discussion also, Chris, about the euro, because we've seen the euro correct. And I know that currency trading is sort of the new fad. Mm-hmm. That as we saw the euro go up and go up over 130, that was where you wanted to be. Well, I always disagreed with that. I always believed the euro you should have been in 3 years ago. When you compare euro to gold prices, I think gold still has an opportunity to surpass the euro many times. And I think the high that if the euro does turn around, we can see a high of maybe 145, where I believe gold is unlimited as far as to where it can go. So, but we've seen a correction in the euro. We've seen a correction in the euro of about 6.5%. And since we've seen the euro correct, we've seen gold correct about 4.5%. So, again, you would have been much better off owning gold than you would the euro. So, again, before you get talked into anything, make sure you call me. I will always tell you if it's a good deal. If it's not, I will tell you that also. 1-800-375-4188.
Wonderful, Melody. Your integrity is in place.
Thank you, Chris, and have a great interview.
Thank you, my friend.
Good night now.
Bye-bye. 800-375-4188 is the number for Melody Cedarstrom, Discount Gold and Silver Trading, DGST, I call it. 800-375-4188, 800-375-4188. I see here Dutch voters reject EU Constitution. Hans, are you with me?
Yes, I am, Chris.
Welcome to the broadcast.
Thank you very much for having me.
Oh, my privilege. And we'll probably do this again next Wednesday at this same time slot. And certainly we're on 9.985. Spread the information about that on the new frequency on WWCR and First Amendment Radio. But I see here that Dutch voters worried about the social benefits and immigration overwhelmingly rejected the European Union Constitution. Mikhail Gorbachev has called this European Union Constitution the new European Soviet. Did you know that, Hansa?
Well, I'm not surprised. I didn't know exactly what Gorbachev said, but I know that the Russians had a plan, and Gorbachev stated that they are very much interested in Europe from the Atlantic to the Urals. So that signaled the exact involvement of the quote new democratic regime unquote in Russia, which is full of communists and quote former unquote KGB agents. So it doesn't surprise me what the situation is today, basically in that regard.
And we're told over and over again that we're trying to democratize the world. And democracy in Russia is flourishing, we're told at certain times, and democracy is what is going on. And yet, you know, you grew up in Czechoslovakia. You defected from the Czechoslovakian Air Force 15 years ago. You had a reason to defect. But the similarities to what happened then to what's happening now, we have to know what you feel about that, plus the fact that homosexualism is getting a lot of publicity today. They even have a gay rodeo out here in Oklahoma. Was homosexualism promoted in Czechoslovakia earlier in your life?
No, not at all. As a matter of fact, it was illegal.
I see.
But the communists tried to protect the society in order to basically control it fully. They had to suppress any of that, which based on, you know, my Christian beliefs and all that, I don't have a problem with homosexuality being sort of condemned, but you know, people have to realize that on
that's one
themselves.
Of the communist goals that was read into the Congressional Record in 1963 to destroy a society. They had these 45 communist goals, and one of those was to present homosexuality as normal and healthy. So this is just for the record for you. Apparently, this is one of the communist goals, is to make what we see today with homosexualism normal and healthy.
Yeah, it's a matter of destroying the Christian society from within, with ideas that will destroy our morals, our awareness that there's God, and basically all of that was put in place into the plan that the Russians had, the long-range plan strategy that was put in place between 56 to 58 by Khrushchev and by the KGB, basically, and they worked on it. They touched just about every corner of they had entire institute and still have that deals with the West, namely the United States. So they know exactly what we have here. They know exactly what kind of situation it is in America, and basically, let me put it this way. There's testimony of GRU, Russian military colonel, defector from Russia, Colonel Stanislav Lunev, who testified that, as a matter of fact, KGB was bribing Hollywood producers into putting more sex and violence into the movies, and therefore they were interested in destroying our morals, our principles, our Christian values, and at the same time they used these kind of movies over there in Eastern Europe to promote the idea that Americans are really corrupt and really people with loose manners and low morale, and basically to show America in a bad light. So this worked both ways, and this is documented. That, you know, we can look at the state of our society today, what our youth is being taught in schools. Like, for example, the person that professor in Colorado, Churchill, that's a good example, that we have actually Marxist professors on our colleges teaching our kids that communism is nothing to worry about in the sense, and that, you know, America is the evil country. So there's a lot of that today, and I can see the signs of it because I grew up in it.
Yeah, and that's the point. You're seeing parallels today from your day in Czechoslovakia. Now, What do you think about the European people, the Dutch voters in particular here, the French voters yesterday, rejecting the European Constitution? What do you think about that, the European Union Constitution? I mean, the European Union is a consolidation of countries, just like the Soviet Union was, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just about the same. You know, it's a centralized power, a lot of bureaucracy on purpose. As a matter of fact, well, to answer your question about France, I think it was just about time to that people woke up and realized what really they up against, because to have a socialist country like that and to have centralized power, basically where the government, where the people have no recourse of any kind, there's no real referendum or initiative process as we know it here in America. These people just basically have to obey the orders, what the government tells them to do, and that's just, in a sense, it's the similar thing as the Russian bloc. So I don't see any difference in there, except they pretend they have more values in Western Europe. But at the same time, you know, you look at the people over there and how Europe turned to socialism in just a short period of time, in the span of 15 years, basically, after the so-called collapse of communism. But this is not coincidence. Most of the Western European conservative leaders were replaced by socialists. In case of Germany, I can state that there was a the CDU political party, the Christian Democrats, that was led by the German Chancellor at the time, Kohl. He was replaced by a woman, Angela Merkel, and she was in fact born in Hamburg, but her father took her from West Germany to East Germany. She grew up in East Germany, was very active in the communist youth. As a matter of fact, she was very very active in learning Russian language and Russian poetry. She won East German competition in Russian poetry and went to Moscow to represent the communist Germany.
You know,
basically.
This reminds me, and keep your thought if you can, but East and West Germany, divided up at the conclusion of the Second World War, I presume, or was that in the 1960s? I've forgotten.
Well, it was the Russian zone, and basically, yeah, it was a matter of where the Russian army stopped, and yeah, it was divided back then.
So there's East and West Germany. The East Germany is under communist control, Russian communist control, correct?
That was back then, yeah.
Why do you think they tore down the wall and unified Germany?
Well, it was, first of all, it was predicted by Anatoly Golitsyn in his book, A New Life for Old, before we even knew about any of that. He predicted, the book was published in 1984. I think that the real idea of how to, the communists, basically, the Russians had to tore down the wall in order to gain more influence in the West, and their spread of influence is today reaching basically Western Europe. I can cite, this is very interesting, there's a publication of a study done by French intelligence officer Pierre de Villemarest. He was involved in the French underground, and also then after the war, he was a good intelligence officer of the French intelligence. He found out through his research that there was a major, at the end of World War II, the Gestapo set up Operation Codename Vampire. They infiltrated most of the underground groups around Europe, even the communist parties with their agents. And they knew, the Germans knew that the war will be over, but they wanted to continue the National Socialism and in implement the policies of Hitler. But the problem was that the Russians got a hold of the Gestapo files, because Russians were the first in Berlin, and they had inside help. And of course, they got the Gestapo files in Czechoslovakia, in Prague. They were also there. So they got a hold of files of German agents inside these groups, so they could turn them over and use them for infiltration of the Western Europe. There's estimated about 30,000 people, and those are just industrialists and basically the Western elites were blackmailed by the KGB. These files, their files were protected. They were transferred to Moscow. So as long as they cooperated, nothing happened to them. So the case about Merkel is very critical because Angela Merkel, it was clearly set up on Helmut Kohl, on the chancellor at the time, and they wanted him out of the way. And so she was the one that actually replaced him in the leadership. He had to resign. They wanted him out of the way. As a matter of fact, there was an assassination attempt on Helmut Kohl in 92, I believe, and they shot his Minister of Interior, basically, or intelligence chief, I think, and but he survived. And members of his staff had to flee to Russia because they were uncovered as Soviet moles. So this is really real deal. And so through blackmail and forced cooperation, Russia can basically force these Western countries to do whatever is necessary. We can see that, Chris, very clearly, that all these countries have signed agreements with Russia the Russians are forcing them to buy Russian natural gas, oil. Britain signed an agreement, Tony Blair signed an agreement with Putin regarding that. West Germany and France have similar agreements. So Russians basically can blackmail these countries into surrender if necessary, just through these kind of tools. And they've done it to the Baltics. That's very well documented. As a matter of fact, the Russians shut down one port in Latvia, I believe, and forced them to turn it over to Russia. That was in the news up there. I did the research on it, and the Russians basically forced them to leave the port to Russian company, government run company, and so they control the port over there in Latvia. So they have these intentions clearly, that it's all done with the intentions to have the military control over Europe. And I wouldn't be surprised if the same thing happened in regards to North America and anywhere else in the world. So these people, they wanna prepare themselves for war. That's clearly what they're doing. So their intentions are to control as much of the natural gas, the oil supplies. The influence goes so far that they were able to buy our only platinum mine in Montana. I'm sure I mentioned it before, but the Russian company now owns 54% of the stock of this company.
Wow.
It's a Stillwater Mining in Montana. That's our only platinum mine, and that's very strategic metal because it's used for military purposes. To build special weapons and submarines and helicopters and all that. So these people, they making moves that are really visible.
Is, this is capitulation on our behalf from 1992, George Herbert Walker Bush, Executive Order 12803, entitled Infrastructure Privatization, which allows anyone with the money from anywhere in the world to buy up portions of this country and to buy up power plants, to buy up water treatment facilities. And this purchase of the mine, with environmentalism the way it is, a private corporation in America probably couldn't purchase that mine.
Well, I researched it in the local newspapers there. There was a counter offer There was some kind of allegation on mismanagement of funds.
Uh-huh.
And on part of the board of directors, and but that was never proven in court, and it was never fully investigated. I don't have the exact details on this, but basically there was counter offer to prevent the Russians to buy this. And the Russians, they to understand, they've done it through brokerage from London. So it was not openly Russian buy, basically. They uh-huh. The Russian purchase. It was done through a brokerage they hired, and the same company, the same Russian company, is involved also very actively in South Africa, where it's the biggest platinum mine in the world. So the Russians are making moves down there too. What happened? The counteroffer was rejected for no apparent reason, and it was more money, but still it was rejected. So I don't know what went behind the scenes, but it seems suspicious that people, the people that owned the company and that were responsible for the sale, were interested to sell it to Russians. That's a major mistake what President Bush the Elder made in 1992, because we had, to do business with communists, one has to be very careful and watch out for what really goes on, and these people are not trustworthy. We shouldn't be doing business with them at all.
Well, and this is the point. You've chronicled a lot of this information on your website, theanticommunistanalyst.com, which is a partner to our website now. We have people in positions of prominence that we rarely hear about any longer. George Soros is one of them, and he's a multi-billionaire, I suppose. He's a billionaire for sure, isn't he?
Yeah, he's got a lot of assets. As a matter of fact, I did research on Soros because it interests me how he was actually involved in supporting all these changes in Eastern Europe. He channeled some $7 million to people in solidarity in Poland and to Charter 77 group in Czechoslovakia. So I started looking into it. Soros was born in Hungary. I'm sorry?
For the listeners' sake, what is Charter 77?
That's the same group that was it's the group of so-called dissidents in Czechoslovakia that supposedly overthrew the Czech communist government.
Uh-huh.
Those are people like, for example, the major figure was Václav Havel. He was later the president of Czech Republic. I have some interesting data on him. And so, for example, I was able to document that the KGB set up a guy, actually it was the Russian military intelligence, the GRU set up a guy that studied in the Soviet Union during the 50s, in the Soviet nuclear research. He was working with academician Sakharov back then, and they set him up, as a Czechoslovakian citizen, and he went to Sweden, and the KGB was channeling money through Sweden, through Stockholm, through this foundation for a Charter 77. They were channeling a lot of money to Czechoslovakia through legal channels to basically show that these dissidents are real people, and I documented how much money it was. It was in my research. So Soros was helpful. Soros knew this person in Sweden, and he was also a contributor to Charter 77 and also to Solidarity. And according to Soros, there was $7 million altogether to Solidarity in Poland and to Charter 77. Soros's history is very interesting, I suggest people read it because it doesn't make sense how he can claim that he supported all these changes.
Listen, Anza, we've got to take a break. When we come back, we'll deal with George Soros and his comeuppance, so to speak. And once again, listeners, we're with Hanza Molina, theanticommunistanalyst.com is his website. He'll be with us next Wednesday as well, God willing. and we will be back with him momentarily. Stay with us.
Going on? Stay tuned to FirstAmendmentRadio.com to find out first. And on satellite at Galaxy 13, Channel 16, Audio 7.70.
Record budget deficits, bankruptcies galore, and the U.S. dollar is at an all-time low. With today's gloomy economic outlook, safe investments are often hard to find. For over a decade, Melody Cederstrom at Discount Gold and Silver Trading Company has been helping people secure their future by investing in the precious metals. Melody has the honesty, integrity, and experience that is often lacking in the precious metals business. Let her put it to work for you. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188.
Now listen to me. The Bible says, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. I want you to know that a corporation is Caesar.
Government takeover of the church. This DVD is the most powerful tool we have for waking up those asleep in the pews. The scripture calls for his people to come out of her. The corporate church is the apostate church, the whore that rides the beast. Get this DVD for a donation of $25 from FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Make copies and give them away to your corporate church friends and loved ones. The truth will make them free. They will watch the DVD, Government Takeover of the Church. Order online today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com or call 559-781-3773. Who will tell them if not you?
You are listening to the Worldwide First Amendment Radio Network. We do not have freedom of speech because the Constitution gives it to us. The constitutional amendment was written to keep the government from taking our freedom away. The Creator gave us our rights, but He also gives us the capacity to do evil or usurp the rights of others. Our individual rights end where the rights of another begin. No one has the right to do evil because evil can never be right. Those who would seek to limit your right to speak or hear the truth are the same who seek to subjugate, control, and enslave you. Freedom is not free. Support the Worldwide First Amendment Radio Network by going to FirstAmendmentRadio.com on the Internet and following the instructions there to support us. Thank you for listening.
In this day of economic uncertainty and soaring unemployment, safe investments are often hard to find. But investing in the precious metals is the safest investment of all, because gold and silver is real money. Government-printed currency is not. Call Melody Cederstrom at Discount Gold and Silver Trading Company at 1-800-375-4188. Melody has been helping people secure their financial future for over 10 years. While others in the business claim honesty, Melody will deliver. Give her a call, 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188.
Years ahead of the dominant media, find out first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com, on satellite, Galaxy 13, Channel 16, Audio 7.70.
I'm Chris Gerner with the Discount Gold and Silver Trading Hour. Immediately following this broadcast will be Jackie Petru and Sweet Liberty, and then I will follow her once again in 1 hour after Jackie Petru and continue with these directions on the Internet and satellite, not on shortwave. But now we're on shortwave. We're with Hanzo Molina, the anti-communist analyst, .com is his website. And certainly we're going to try and get him back next Wednesday if he's able to be here, depending on his business. But Hansa, we have people with positions of prominence, such as George Soros, who's very influential. Isn't George Soros a Canadian citizen?
No, he's an American citizen.
I see.
Yeah, he was. He's an American citizen, but he stated that he doesn't feel like American, so he's not very friendly to America, as far as based on his own words. I was gonna tell your listeners something very important about his family. Soros' grandfather and father were both involved in Hungary when the Nazis took over the country. They were both involved in, they were high Nazi regime officials, and they were involved in confiscating Jewish property. So these people were involved in Nazi regime. This is documented. I was able to research Soros, when he was just about 17 years old, that was in 1947, he got out of Hungary. Nothing happened to his family, as far as I know, which is, again, something really unusual, because after the war, especially in the Russian sector, in the Soviet sector, which Hungary was occupied by the Red Army, there were people tried and hanged for cooperation, far less cooperation with the Nazis. So how come Soros was not caught and nothing happened to him? As a matter of fact, he was able to leave Hungary through Austria and to defect to London. So-called defect, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
That required special Red Army issued passports to do that, to be able to make it through the Soviet checkpoints. And if he tried to run them, they would certainly shoot him on the spot, so he wouldn't be able to run the checkpoints. So it's unclear how he made it out. Then he was able to enroll in the London School of Economics in 1947. Be talking about a person that got out barely in his teens, late teens, how was he able to support himself during those years? Graduated in 1952. I defected from communist Czechoslovakia. I never had any kind of luck like this. I mean, somebody had to support him. You know, this requires a lot of cash. I'm reading here, in 1956, Soros moved to the United States. And he has started his financial services. Again, this requires a lot of starting cash. How did he get the cash? Of course, this involves Soros. Then was able to channel money to all these groups in Eastern Europe. But at the same time, when he was sending money to all these so-called dissidents, he opened up he calls it Open Society Foundation, and Open Society service in Communist Hungary in 1984. That's, again, he had to have the approval of the Communist Party over there. Now let's see if it makes sense. He was supporting financially supposedly anti-communist groups, Solidarity in Charter 77 in Czechoslovakia, and the Hungarian communists let him install his society over there in Budapest in Hungary. I mean, that doesn't make sense. And of course, there's other very important information about Soros. He was involved in Russia and Soviet Union in 1987, and also in China. That's very important. Let me just quote real quick what he was involved in China. This is according to Soros' own words. It says that the Communist Party, the Chinese Communist Party General Secretary Zhao Ziyang, his secretary, General, his principal secretary, Bu Tang, cut through the red tape and approved the foundation on the spot. Then later, Soros ran into some trouble with the Chinese Communist Security Services, and now I'm quoting him again. This is from his book. They prepared an elaborate this dossier which claimed that I was a CIA agent and an anti-communist conspirator. Bu Tang counterattacked and present. This is the general secretary, official secretary. The Bu Tang counterattacked and presented voluminous information about my other foundations to prove my good faith. That was not too difficult because I had always been very open about my intentions, and by 1987 I had also established a foundation in Moscow. Andrei Gromyko himself had put the seal of approval on it by officially receiving me in the Kremlin. This is astonishing. This is amazing. At the same time, when Soros was involved in supporting anti-communist revolutions with money in Czechoslovakia and in Poland, he was able to have all these high-level meetings with Russian officials, with Chinese. Now, get this. So now it continues, and this is again according to what Soros wrote. Nevertheless, and this is still in China, some high party council decided to liquidate the foundation and refund the money. Well, this is again laughable. I mean, how you get the communists to refund the money to supposedly American capitalists? I mean, that's laughable. He would be lucky to get out of there alive.
Mm-hmm.
Now, but that comes now. This is the punchline right here. It took the personal intervention of Zhao Ziyang to rescind the decision, to overturn the decision. So he had the support of the Chinese Communist Party General Secretary to fix the problem for him, and he was able to remain in China. It's unbelievable. And so at the same time, this is, and we're talking about 1986, 87. Time when the perestroika was barely on the way, so we have very serious questions about George Soros, especially his connections to known communist agents, uncovered communist agents who he claims to be perfect dissidents, including his meeting in Prague in 1989 with known STB and suspected KGB agent, and at the time Prime Minister of Czechoslovakia, Marian Čalfa. And let me quote again what Čalfa has said about Soros. Soros says right here, Čalfa opened his heart. He said that the last 3 weeks had really shaken his view of the world. He had not realized how far out of touch his party was with reality. So then he thanked Soros for making all these changes possible in Czechoslovakia. This is incredible. This is like saying that Hitler would allow the Jewish rabbi to take over a part of the Nazi government. And thank him for making it possible. I mean, it's unbelievable. But that's how ridiculous it sounds when we look at it. But when you understand how the Russians did it, there's not much. Like I said before, the Operation Vampire. There are files of people that were involved in Russian and in Nazi regime, and so we can again speculate who George Soros really is. Those files are safely in Moscow, so major blackmail tool for the Russians. And so George Soros, if you remember, Chris, George Soros is also involved in various things in here in America. As a matter of fact, he was involved in he supported the initiative in Montana that legalized marijuana. He basically was involved in South Africa also, I am told, in 1978. South African government is today communist. So that's a major achievement of George Soros, so to say.
Mm-hmm.
Soros channels money to the Democrats in America. And if you look at the Democrats, how they sabotage any kind of effort we have, let's say in the, for example, the oil industry, that it was the Democrats that who shut down the drilling in the Anwar in Alaska. So we have to question the intent. Why? I mean, what kind of influence George Soros has over the Democratic Party? I mean, we have to question that also.
Yes, good point.
These are questions that nobody asks. Now, I think it's about time to ask about George Soros.
Yeah, and you have people that you communicate with, I take it, regarding this situation in the world, huh?
Yes, I do. I have my sources.
And certainly, after all these years of being here, 15 years, you're seeing relevance in this country of what happened in your country, like I repeated again. This is the perilous situation that we have today, where it's been promoted that there's going to be a nuclear event here. It's been disclosed in Perestroika Deception, the book by Anatoly Golitsyn, that there could be a terrorist event attributed with suitcase bombs. What do you know about that?
Well, I was able to do research. It was actually published by Newsmax and by Walnut Daily. Newsmax, I think, published it. And it was the testimony of Soviet defector Stanislav Lunev. Again, he defected from. He was in charge of 12 suitcase nukes that were placed in. They were placed in America. And he estimated that based on the number of people that were involved in this operation, that there were anywhere from 100 to 200 suitcase nukes, Russian suitcase nukes, and Russian-controlled suitcase nukes placed in the United States. Let me quickly quote something what I was able to find out. Basically, when you tie this to what Russia is up to, how they sell missiles and advanced weaponry to China, Syria, China's involvement with Iran, all these ties, we have to seriously consider the whole block, and the Russian involvement is very clear. Because those are Russian weapons. Let me quote Lunev real quick so you have it perfectly here. Lunev claimed that he had collected information on the U.S. president and senior U.S. political and military leaders so they could be targeted for assassination in the event of war. As part of this mission, Lunev claimed to have obtained from the Soviet Union several suitcase nuclear bombs that were positioned in the United States and stored in hiding places where they could be concealed until needed. This was a matter of congressional inquiry, basically. Representative Dan Burton, from a Republican from Indiana, on January 24, 2000, I'm reading here, brought a markup of a suitcase nuclear bomb to a congressional hearing on Russian espionage. Burton displayed the suitcase bomb to the congressional committee and to the press. The startling photos of the prototype suitcase bomb made headlines around the globe. This was a matter of congressional inquiry. The problem is that we let these people in. We trusted somebody that we should never trust in the first place. We should let them, as Golitsyn suggested very well in his book, Perestroika Deception, we should have let the Russians to build the democracy if they promised to do so, but with their own money, with their own effort, they watch them carefully what they do. If you look back, we are engaged, Chris, in very dangerous, basically wishful thinking, that there were some trials or trials of the main communists, main culprits. None of that ever happened. All these people were, in fact, protected by all these regimes. And I reported that on my website. There was a law enacted by the Havel regime in Czechoslovakia that very quickly in the beginning of 1990, they enacted a law that totally protected all the communists from any kind of lawsuits or justice. And I'm again stressing that these are people that were involved in assassinations, murders, oppression. They were sending people to jail. Today, let's look at the communist judges. I mean, there are still communist judges running the courts over there. I have countless examples of how they're fixing the justice over there. I mean, my sources, they are involved. A person that I'm connected to that gives me information over there, he's involved in various lawsuits. And when he sued somebody that was communist agent, recently the person lost because the judge was, again, communist. So, and they have their own people in the International Human Rights Court in Strasbourg in France. They have Czech office set up, and the leading figure is, again, a member of the Communist Party. And they protect, so anybody from Czech Republic that wants to get the justice done in any kind of case, and when the Czech government sabotages the effort, and they go to court, to Strasbourg. After 3 years, basically, they have to wait 3 years, exhaust all the possibilities. So it's not cheap to do it. And when they get to Strasbourg, they have to have everything prepared, everything translated. Again, it goes through this court, through this office that's run by Czech people, and those are again officers of the Czech intelligence service. So there are documents being lost. I read countless reports. Documents were being lost. The court never considered anything. These people just being turned away and said that the court is still considering these matters. There was actually visitation to the office. They found it in total disarray. Documents were lost and spread around. And I mean, it was just perfectly visible that it was sabotaged, any kind of effort. So the Czech government sabotages any kind of effort of the Czech citizens to get the justice and to have the world to notice that there's no democracy in these countries.
Uh-huh. And yet we are manipulated to believe democracy is freedom, and democracy comes with a price. But the bottom line is, ultimately, democracy and socialism work hand in hand, but they call themselves republics. The fall of the Soviet Union, the so-called fall of the Soviet Union, and the Russian republics is what they're called now. Correct?
Yeah. It's
which gives them more
Republic
votes
of
the
Independent
United Nations.
States. Yeah.
It expands their realm and power in the United Nations system, because each one of these countries have one vote in the UN system, where our country with 50 sovereign states only receives one vote. So it's a real set up situation that we live today. The manipulative process and the brainwashing that's been going on, and hasn't there been an ongoing movement with brainwashing to put the American people to sleep about communism?
Absolutely. It's very much visible. As a matter of fact, to illustrate this, let me tell you this. This is a matter of fact. In the case of Czech Republic, how they brainwash the children over there. The history classes reach only year 1945. Anything past 1945, the kids are not learning at all. That's where the line is. So they don't teach anything about communism over there. So, and if you ask children here, students here in America, what communism is all about, they wouldn't be able to answer.
Right.
Because again, you have to ask who teaches them this. Who are these people? I mentioned the professor Churchill over there, the Marxist, and I know that there was research done about the U.S. colleges, and about 75% of the, just estimated 75%, if the number is correct, it could be even more, 75% of the teachers and professors are liberals. And they don't teach about the ideology they worship. I mean, they, you know, they believe in social justice and all this socialism and government running everything for the citizen. So these are the people that are destroying our youth. That's really noticeable.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, this testimony of John Cena on your website, the anticommunistanalyst.com, he talks about the prisoners of war and POWs in South Korea and Vietnam, and he's talking about that they were used as guinea pigs, and the POWs from Korea and Vietnam were used as guinea pigs in the Soviet Union for doctors to test on our POWs. Isn't that interesting, Hansa?
That was very well documented. As a matter of fact, people, you have to understand who Shana was. Shana was a member of the decision-making council. He was basically chairman of the defense council of Czechoslovakia, and also he was the first secretary of the party at the Ministry of Defense and chief of the staff to the Minister of Defense. So he was also very much involved in the decision-making process. He was receiving reports from Soviet Union about these tests, and these were horrible tests. This was very well documented by Dr. Joseph D. Douglas in his book Betrayed. Basically, now let me quote what Shana said. This is again from the congressional testimony. He was
about 1 minute.
Yeah, he basically said that the American POWs were used as guinea pigs in nuclear explosions, and chemical and biological warfare agents were used against them, different drugs. So very well documented. And Russians are not forthcoming about all this, and they could still be our people in Russia today.
It even says here that in the Czechoslovakia built a crematorium in North Korea to dispose of the bodies and the parts after the experiments were conducted in North Korea.
Yeah, that's very well documented, and as a matter of fact, there were some people that testified to that extent, and those were horrible conditions. They were not using any anesthesia, cutting off people's limbs, basically surgical removal of kidneys, liver. I mean, they were just using them as guinea pigs. It was just horrible, and nobody was ever brought to justice in Czechoslovakia after that.
Isn't
after
that
the so-called collapse of communism. So that again show that these criminals that were involved in all this still live, and there are some still alive, enjoying the high pension and laughing at America, how stupid America is to sign all this.
We're going to do this again next Wednesday if you're able, okay, Hansa?
Yes, I'll try the best to be here for you.
Okay, you keep me in touch and let us know, and we'll plan on having you back next Wednesday. This is Hansa Molina, the anticommunistanalyst.com is his website. And Hansa, thank you once again for joining us.
Thank you very much, Chris, for having me.
Thank you. And listeners, that is it for this program. Jackie Petru follows next on First Amendment Radio, and then I will be back in 1 hour on First Amendment Radio.